بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الكتاب الاعتذار very seldom you'll find that contemporary ulama will praise their contemporaries. Here not only the contemporaries praise of the Shaykh with his kitab, even his seniors, the likes of Hazrat Mawlana Madani Sahib, I used to say that I find this so precious that I carry with me when I'm traveling. My attache or whatever, that I carry this along with me. These books of this senior ulama kiram, and the ulama that generally we all are agreed upon, all united upon, it's like a must in every home. When I'm seeing what's going on now, we first will just encourage the talim. Now I'm saying it's like for us, because we lost the whole picture, the whole plot is lost. Like we find friends are talking and discussing, and sometimes 5 out of 10, sometimes 8 out of 10, the discussion is revolving around disgrace in someone, pulling out someone's mistake, some alim, he said this and he said this, someone running on someone or attacking someone. So now, we're attacking, then more than that, we are linked up to a site that talks about that. So there's 10 people hurling abuse against someone. Then we take relish out of that enjoyment. Now, in the light of all this thing, what is our position? Are we safe? So, one is we aren't safe, and we don't even count the wrong that we are involved in to be wrong. It's even worse. We think now it's a good thing talking about deen. So many a time I tell people, well, it's better for you to talk about what's the specials. Sunlight soap is on special, or condensed milk is on special. Talk about that, you won't get guna. No guna will get, in fact, will help someone. Lately, my one niece now, or grandchild, she'll learn how to make condensed milk, homemade. So he passes on. At least, we'll talk about this thing here, no guna. In fact, it will be a benefit to someone else. But now you're going to talk about someone, talk against someone, all what you've done, all is finished, class gone. Took you so much of time to earn the thing. And within minutes now, everything is, all everything is finished up. I was on, I'm thinking of that. Dr. Sahib, Dr. Mbokar's brother, Shabir, he was. He used to come and smile, you know, to come in the etiquette here, regularly. Then after that, after he passed away, I understood they were a professional person, but then he insists he was to sweep here, ajeeb person. And then, they say when he passed away, that he was actually seeing some Sahaba Kiram. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sahaba Kiram, they came to receive him. And I asked, what is so good about this man? I asked, you know, when you see someone dying like this, I want to know what he was doing. So, the thing that was common in him, they say, people that knew him, he won't want to listen to any rebirth. And first, if he could, he'll stop you. But if he can't, then he'll walk up and get away. He'll stop you from rebirth, speaking especially against ulama, etc. But if he can't stop you, then for some reason, then he'll gently get up and move away. He doesn't write his, throughout his life. Now, Allah is watching everything. And he is most appreciative. So the time that you need the help, he'll give it to you. Now this, all this will pass, but the time that this will, you know, you will need him. And I noticed this also, after this incident here, I began to see now, people dying, right? And they're dying with ease, or you're getting some basharat at the time of death, or after death. You know, easy death, or some basharat, some good news. Then the common line was, man took care of his tongue. that is a common man. But we have to go that way, then why don't make the trip enjoyable? We have to go. Nobody can avoid that. So there's two things I saw in that smell bed. One was that you won't make out he's a professional person. He won't talk about himself. And number two is that he won't speak anything bad upon anybody. And he won't even listen. One is not to speak, but one is to hear, entertain the talk. He won't even speak, he won't even listen. And if he happens to be in that gathering, he'll get up. But isn't that a great investment? I think you pay billions for that investment. I think it's more than worth it. The third thing, all right, it's another thing that he was to do. In Ethika, he'll pass on badam to everybody. You know what I mean? Everybody will give some 5 badam, 7 badam. But we'll do that. So, it's good works. Why must we become like a vacuum cleaner to get all the filth? Look for all the filth. Be like that khajur tree, right? Think of the khajur tree. There's a lot of things that you can take off from it. But once it sends its roots into the ground, it will take all the good nourishment, all the good nutrition to take, and that nourishment is such that at the most precious time, iftar time, when the dua is kabul, at that time you enjoy it. So can't we be like that? There was dirt dumped there, so the thing left all that thing out, it took the good nourishment, brought it up, and then everybody takes it like a barakat, you know, khajur, came from Medina Munawara, take it at the time of iftar. But this happened. Can't we take a lesson from these things? One buzur, I think it was a muhaddis. So someone was speaking out against Hajjaj. People know the atrocities and how much of zulm he did, right? Thousands of people killed him. So now look at the caution. Look at the caution, look at the precaution. He says, on the day of Qiyamah, like Allah Ta'ala, will punish Hajjaj for his wrongs, then the people that wronged him, they will also be punished. Because you can only talk wrong against him to the extent of the wrong. You kill 10 people, to the extent of the wrong that he's committed, you can speak against him. But now you overstep the mark then, now you improve it. So you need to understand now, right? To the extent of the wrong, I call the right. Jazahu sayyatin sayyatun mithlaha. فَمَنِ أَتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَأَتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ بِمِثْلِ مَا أَتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ. Then, wrong for wrong, but equivalent. But one step more than that, now you are the wrong. So whatever have you gained? In this age, I feel, you know, this talim is like for us, and then the things that we have for God. If you just listen to the Surah Nur, in Surah Nur, you'll find so much of good in this thing here. How to get into the light. How to get into light. Look at the Surah Nur. See, Allah Pak himself says, Allahu waliyul ladheena amanu yukhrijuhum min an-nur ila az-zulumat. Allah Ta'ala is your friend. He's the friend of every Muslim. And he pulls him out from the darkness to the light. Now you may ask, what is darkness? Darkness, in the according to the Mufassirin, means doubts and suspicions. I ask you, isn't this an age of doubts and suspicions? They got doubts in Iman, they got doubts in Deen, they got everything doubts in. So Allah Pak says he will pull you out from the darkness of doubts and suspicion into the light of Iman. Right? But then, if you are doing things to block off that light, then Allah Pak is taking you out, but you are doing things to block off that light, then you're becoming a victim of suspicion. Repeatedly you become a victim of suspicion. Why? Because you're doing things to block that light. Hurling abuse, disgracing, embarrassing, gossiping, backbiting, right? Or if you are not active, then you are passive. One is you are actively involved, and one is you are a passive participant. You're listening to it, admiring the whole thing. So this phone, you know, is a conglomeration of sin. When I look at it carefully, it's a conglomeration, especially the smartphone. You think it's a blessing, but I think it's a conglomeration of sin. That you want to see what's, you know, how the news comes also. Breaking news, striking news. Today is, every day is breaking. Every day is breaking news. Tomorrow is another break. But they must sell the news in some way. Now the same thing has been done with the phone. You become addicted to it. You say, what's the breaking news today? Tomorrow, who's catching it tomorrow? That's why I say sometimes that even some of these magazines or papers that come out, it's not good for everybody to read. Though the writers may be very good people, pious people, but it's not good for everybody to read. Because our intention is to see who is getting smashed down now. Who's catching it now? Yeah, see, this person is catching it. See, too much of his cell. So we find something. So we're reading that thing for what? What's the intention? Deep down, what's the intention? Is it right? His intention, the writer, his intention must be good, right? We don't have any doubts about the person. But you, the reader, what's your intention? Is your intention right? If it's entertainment, you're wrong. If it is to appease yourself and someone else getting smashed, again you're sinful. So there can be about 10 reasons for you to become sinful. So this talim also must be supervised. Someone who must guide you what you should make talim of, not anything and everything. So the nur is so important. Like I say, things that will block off the nur. See? Then you become a victim of doubts, suspicions. In your own deen, in your iman, everything have doubts. So this surah nur will teach you a lot of things. That is why Umar radiyallahu anhu had advised, don't teach your girls writing. But he would tell that him. So close to all the girls with the lessons. That's how they would respond. Don't teach them writing. And don't keep them in upper balconies. High buildings, don't keep them there. There's a lot of hikmah in what he's saying. If you're only abreast of what goes on, I feel there's too much of what Umar says. And then the third thing he says, let them get engaged in Sut Katna. Sut Katna means yarn, spinning yarn. I think the spinning yarn, I think, is about taking the strands, right, from the cotton, taking the strands and making it into a string. You know, the fibers, and you spin it into a string. This is what I think I understand. I don't know what it exactly means, but this is what I understand. But there's a third thing about it, right? And number four, he says, teach them Surah Nur. But what he says, all spot on. All spot on. Now that thing is off. The more you think about what he said, really, that's what. You know, that woman will become like a farishta, will become like an angel. If they don't just conform. See, our deen is, in most places, right? Most places, just listen to our elders. Although you don't understand what they say. Hazrat himself will say, some of the things that I speak now, you will not understand it. But just keep it in your bag. Later on in life, the mysteries will unravel. You'll begin to understand it later on. But now, that's not the story. So you see this hikmat that teach them Surah An-Nur. One is that what Umar is saying, and you're employing your reasoning against what he's saying. No, this 21st century, what he knew, he didn't see this. The halat you're going through. When you go and experiment these things, what happens after that? After that, that woman is sleeping with a Hindu, she's giving a child to a Christian man, and they carry on. They don't feel embarrassed about what they're doing. But That's the point where they lost it. The simple way is, listen, don't go against them. Now you don't want to do it in your own child now, you've got no control over the child. Now he's a Hindu or a Christian or whatever it is, you don't know about it. But you've got absolutely no control. Where you didn't want to be supervised or tied, you don't want to be tied. When you don't want to be tied, you must suffer the consequence. And you want to be tied, then you feel a little bit constrained for the moment. But afterwards, then you'll understand, all right, what was the mystery? You know, there's two stories come to my mind. Keeping yourself tied. Now, these are two friends of mine, right? One is a doctor. The doctor is quite aged now, like about 90 years of age. He's still alive there. So he told me a story himself, personally told me. So when he was studying medicine, at that time, there was a Salisbury Island, you know. So they used to go, they ferry the boat, go to that island, go study, then come. They gave me the story. He says, just then, near his house, that what he's saying, I saw that. Just near the house, there was a tennis court that came up. Now, this tennis court came up, and the youngsters started playing tennis. I also. Now, I played the first day. By the second day, my father said, hey, ta javanu ni male, ta paglo nim kon male. You're not going to go there. Hey, now I was wild, I was raging. But now, at that time, forget the father saying something, even if he opens his eyes, that was enough. That's the respect they have. So now he said, hey, you don't want to go there. I have this whole backstreet. I am a doctor, I know the world, you know, I have some bread. What this old, you know, they'll say, Kavanagh, Bali, or what he knows. What he knows. But then I saw now, after a few days, now, you are playing, right? You're playing, and you're playing in pairs now. Sometimes the pair is a woman, a girl. You're playing, they're playing, and it looks so nice now. You know, the girl, that shorts, and how she's jumping, and the hair, and all the hair. And he's telling me all the story, how they look. And that's exciting to me, thrilling to me. My father here, I know what he's doing. The other parents, they allowed this to continue. Right? They continued. Right. We completed our whole medicine course. A lot of those people, either they dropped out, or if they became doctors or whatever, their lives are either, they really in a mess up. They were somewhere night one, colored one, whoever. Because they got a free life, and they were to come and play. And now, from one thing leads to the other, second thing, third thing, so I married that. Either colored girls or even Muslim girls, but not free, you know, not thinking right. Then the children went all off. Somebody is a delinquent, somebody is drugging, somebody wastes his life. But all these things happen. Now, it took about 25 years to see what's going to be the outcome after that of what the old man said. The old man said, you know, where to put your foot there. It took me 25 years to understand what's going to be the aftermath. But I heard him that time, and you know, I'm so thankful to Allah Ta'ala. All my children are good, they married well, good homes, some of them are professionals, a number of them, all doing good for themselves. Now, it took him 25 years to understand. But that's the blessing of keeping yourself tied. Not free thinking, just looking at anything, what's happened, what's down, and then you've got a confusion in your mind. But you read that is supervised, your elders are telling you, just listen to them. You're going to create a confused mind. Then you'll ask this second question, the third question. Your questions won't end up. But you're reading all that material that is junk, you're not supposed to be reading it. Sometimes, if you go to a doctor, right? So you have some degree of respect for him, for the good that he's doing, and the good results that you see in his patients, and you listen to him. So you may ask him one question, but there's an alternative medication. One time he'll explain to you. Second time he'll explain to you. But third time, you go do your own thing.
You'll get fed up.
See, I've experienced this thing. I've tried this thing out so many times. And you're not paying me for this. Now I must give you a whole explanation. I must give you a whole detailed explanation. It takes so much of time. In that time I can make so much of money. That's how the doctor will say. Now, you want that explanation from me. What are you going to pay me for it? And you're not qualified enough. But you want to pretend that I'm qualified. Why like this? Why like this? Why not like this? Why like this? Where this came from? It came from the junk that you read. You know, I told you the story of that young boy and how he was misled. You know, why can't we perform the mass in just one cloth? I gave the whole explanation. But this incomplete information that is incomplete is being fed to people, whether through the WhatsApp, Google, etc. You look at this thing here, your mind is getting all in a mess up. Then you want to mess up your life. Then you want to talk about these things. Then you're creating a greater confusion. So the simple thing is by you have trust, listen to the person. He may not have the time to give detailed explanation to everything. Now, today's problem, you want a detailed explanation to everything. But they don't apply the same law, the same rule, when they're going to visit a doctor. They apply the same law. Should apply the same rule. I was telling you now that doctor sees a patient just for 2 minutes, 5,000 naturally. Now, he can't ask the doctor, give me a detailed explanation, why you charge me 5,000 for this? Just 2 minute visit. He doesn't have the heart to do it. But because the Maulana, he takes it very lightly, I want a detailed explanation, what is this? But don't confuse your mind for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Don't confuse your mind. Listen to an elder, see the person properly, then listen to him, and then carry on. Then in time, you will see the good yourself. Now you want to hear that. Then in time, you will see it yourself. So all right, this is why he told me. It's one story. But now this is the doctor told me himself. Another story, another person, right? He's also a professional person. So he tells me he was studying in university, right? Was about 20, 21 he was. Second year, what course he was doing. So now all the friends, 1978, 79, 80, somewhere, whenever it was, or maybe earlier. So all the friends were together now. It's a holiday period. So we're going to go to this, Port Jones, where Muni Musa is. Let's go for fishing. What's the place? Transkai somewhere. Yeah. So he says, now we all prepared, we're for a holiday. Bring the, all reserving and to go, the roads, what you're going to do there, what you're going to eat, how you're going to braai, for 5 days now. So they made up their mind. They want a boat, everything. Now, he went and asked his mother at the last minute, Mom, I'm going to go. My saying, Javan only, mother. Can't go. I was really mad at the time. What preparations we made, what dreams we had to go for the holiday, whatever we did, everything was prepared. At the last hour, I was with his mother. She said, don't go. All right. Manu Hukamcha is the command of the mother, instruction of the mother, Kungo. He says, not even 2 days passed, the phone came from that side. They went fishing with the boat, I think capsized, all of them drowned. I mean, one survived, all drowned. But you see, these old people, they're telling you something, right? Just go away. Well, you're understanding well. They're not biased. They don't mean bad. But they can see what you can't see. They understand what you can't understand. They got the experience that you don't have. You're going to do it, and after that, you're going to cry. This image that I see, so many is about marriages. And this marriage is, most of the problem is this, love marriages. Most of the problem is love marriages. So what the old man know? He doesn't know. My teacher, he doesn't know. I must go experience this thing here, whatever. Then after a year, 2 years, they got a child, then there's a problem. Now they don't know how to sort it out. They're going to school together, going to university, then they come in love. We get so many of these problems. They won't just listen. Now, husband is a doctor, wife is a doctor. Right. So the husband must have joked with her, you know, how you tap someone, so he must have tapped her. So the woman is a doctor, so she went and complained to her mother, hitting me for tapping. So the mother-in-law caught the doctor and punched him. He's actually pulled up his clothes, he's telling me, see what that blue and black marks. Now this is the aftermath. They don't want to listen to anybody. They experience the whole thing, and when they see that, they say, hey, I should have only listened to them. One person came here, I won't mention the town, right? He came here, crying, very, very badly crying. Try to calm him off now. Let's try to keep tissue in the office, you know. Elderly person, about 55 something, is crying. What happened by? No, I got tangled in a love marriage. But Christian, Hindu, someone I got married. So that thing, she accepted Islam. Alright, so it was going on well. After about 10 years, I got two girls from her, and now she went back to Christianity. My daughters, they were born in Islam, and now they all just turned. Clothing, the girl is big, she's a big now trap or something, and she's wearing shorts like this, in front of me. And I can't do anything about it. How hurt don't I feel? Then he's telling me, that my mother so much, she told me, don't do this thing yet. Please, for Allah's sake, don't do this thing. Now she went to the church service and all that, and she sued me for divorce. So I have no chance but to divorce her. Right? Then I'm earning very well. About 45,000 something earning. And 20,000 every month I will take off for them. And she, the children are only seeing in the weekend. Whole week they went, Sunday service, whatever they're doing. Christian, Muslim by name. And in their action, their behavior, they're Christian. Now, I don't know what to do. Where to look? I'm regretting I didn't listen to my mother, but this was happening. See? So this, listening to the elders, without any proof, the elder got some understanding, he's got some wisdom, and he's asked you to do something, right? Just carry on. Later on in life, you will see the mysteries will unravel, you will see it for yourself, you won't have regrets. See, when you're young, the only thing that appeals to you is sight, is looks. When you're young, the only thing that appeals to you is the looks. You're not looking at anything else. And if your mother, etc., they're going to see things, provided the mother is also mature. Because a lot of the mothers are not mature also. It's such a zamana we're going through. You get so many cases you get. The mother knows, the parents know that we're in love, right? And they agree that we should marry. They know we're meeting each other on that. No, but you can only marry after you have completed your studies. Because now, who's going to support? You're not mature enough. So they're mature to meet each other. They're mature to sleep with each other. But they're not mature to get married. To meet each other, they can be mature enough. To meet each other and sleep with each other, they're mature enough. But to get into a halal contract, they're not. So the mother gives that type of advice. And you have to say these things here because you're getting this type of parents coming up. That girl is complaining, no, I don't want to be the university. Yeah. And I don't want to be there. My parents are hitting me. I must be there. I must go there. Now, I'm forced to go there. I don't want to be there. And then you're hearing from the people in the university, they're telling you, hey, you just give the girl, from whichever madrasa she's come, give her 6 months, and we'll finish up. We'll control her life. Just 6 months in the university environment, and how will this ruin her life? And it's your own child, and to see this type of thing coming up. You know, so it's a money madness. The parents are mad over money. Oh, just some name that, no, my daughter, she is qualified like this.
just the money or the name. My opinion is, even if that girl is going to madrasa, and she's got two sivaras left to complete, and she says she wants to get married, get her married straight away. She's got 1 year to finish her mishkat. And she wants to get married, or the proposal has come, she's right, send her away. You're going to stress this thing here. You're going against the hadith. The hadith saying that you found the match, get them married. Now if the child is going to do any wrong then, you're also going to bear the brunt. You're stopping the child, but you don't know what's going on in your heart. Child, you got them engaged, they know each other and all that, and you have the doubt perhaps you're going to be communicating, right? And this premarital this relationship is not right, haram. Like, out of marriage and out of engagement, it's haram. So all this is haram. But now you're allowing all these things here. So you see this. You want a name that the child became a hafiza, or she became a alima, and for that you stress the thing. When you stress the thing, she got involved in haram. She is sinful and you are sinful as well, both. وَلَيَحْمِلُنَّ أَثْقَالَهُمْ وَأَثْقَالَهُمْ مَا أَثْقَالِهُمْ. They're going to bear their sins and the sins of those they misled as well. يُذِلُّونَهُمْ بِغَيْرِهُمْ بِغَيْرِهُمْ. They incorrectly misled them. They're going to bear your sin and they're going to bear their sin as well. Now they have age now, get them married, give them proper Islamic guidance. So Umar radiallahu anhu is giving this advice, teach them Surah An-Nur. Right? Now, what's the mystery in Surah An-Nur? For the first two, three rukus, he's talking about the guarding of the tongue. Lola is sami'tumuhu, zanna al-mu'minun al-mu'minatu bi anfusim khayra. That's the first two, three rukus, right? You hear any rumor about a Muslim, what is the desired response. You heard something. You don't want to hear, but it just came up. Lawla is sami'tumuhu, dhanna al-mu'minuna bi anfusihim. First, think good about the believers. You heard it, you didn't accept it. So when you talk good of the believer, then are you sinful? But without proof, you entertain some suspicion. Without proof, you entertain some doubt and suspicion about the person, I ask you, are you sinful? So, nikam, you're not getting anything out of it. Why are you putting yourself in trouble? See how good the Quran says it is. وَمَنْ يَكْتُمْهَا فَإِنَّهُ آثِمٌ قَلْبُ. Sometimes your heart also gets sinful. فَإِنَّهُ آثِمٌ قَلْبُ. So, we think now, we mustn't misuse the tongue or misuse the limbs. But the misuse of the heart is all right. And the Quran Sharif is saying, فَإِنَّهُ آثِمٌ قَلْبُ. Your heart can also be wrong. You entertaining doubts about the person, especially because no proof, no evidence. Second place. Then, لَوْلَا إِسْمِئْتُمُوا قُلْتُمْ مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَنْ نَتَكَلَّمْ بِهَذَا. Second advice, how should you respond? It's not for us to say these things. It's not right for us to say these things. مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَنَّتَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا. We can't even talk about these things. Third response, سُبْحَانَكَ هَذَا بُغْتَانٌ عَظِيمٌ. Glory be to you, Allah. This is an allegation. This is a... See how the Quran is telling you, Surah An-Nur. And so Umar radiallahu anhu is directing it to the woman. And now everybody became like woman. Because before, this goddess gossip and granny's tales was a granny's work. Now everybody came granny's. They're looking at the phone, guess gossip is on. I ask you, anybody that's got a small smartphone, is he not guilty of gossip? Is he guilty or not? Do you have suspicions of people after that? Do you have doubts of people after that? Can you say that your mind and your heart is pure like before? Now it's no more pure. It was contaminated. This news here, that news, contaminated. See how contaminated, how you're spoiling heart. See this news, what it does to you. See the third advice, in the same surah, and how many times, Subhanak Hadha Buhtan Azim. It's an allegation. It's an accusation, false accusation. Right. Now we are taking all these things as wahi. News comes, or this WhatsApp news comes, we think it's right. But have we verified it? Those reporters that are giving the news, have they verified? They just bought news, and they are presenting it. They just say breaking news, striking news, right? Today's news. So they are doing it as a business. If they decide, there was a small accident in Springo, one person died, you think anyone will buy that? They want to buy it. They want to make it striking for people to buy it. So that's the business that they're doing. And you became their garak. You became their client. Right, look at the fourth response of the Quran. Fourth response of the Quran Sharif is that لَوْلَا جَعُوا عَلَيْهِ بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَى. It's for a special case, but I'm just extending the analogy, right? لَوْلَا جَعُوا عَلَيْهِ بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَى. If you heard anything about any person, then bring the desired proof. Not translating it, I'm just showing the, by way of analogy. Right? The desired proof. You made an accusation about this person here. Bring the desired proof. The fifth response of the Quran Sharif. Look at it. How firm this thing is. فَإِذْ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِالشُّهَدَىٰ فَأُولَٰئِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْكَاذِبُونَ. That if you can't produce the proof, then according to the law of Allah, ilmillah, translating it as, the law of Allah Ta'ala, they are liars. That means, it's possible that what you are saying is true, it's possible. But you can't furnish the proof. What you're saying, it's possible, it's true. But have you got the proof? When you don't have the proof in the law of Allah Ta'ala, you're talking about this, in the law of Allah Ta'ala, you're a liar, khalas. See that? How much the Quran Sharif is guarding us and reproaching us, reprimanding us with information. How do you respond, disseminate? What do you do with information? See that? لَوْلَا جَاوُ عَلَيْهِ بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَىٰ. Then the sixth response, يَعِيزُكُمُ اللَّهُ أَن تَعُودُوا لِمِسْكِهِ أَبَدًا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you are mu'min, I'm warning you, don't do this again. See, in six places the Quran is warning you. One surah, six times. So this must be a very serious crime in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. Just talking randomly, listening to news, passing it on. We consider it as so light, you know, like a fly came in the stage. And we'll still say, you know, this person is very cool, he's not an aggressive person. But all the aggression, all the filth that's in his heart, do we look at that? I was listening to this filth, he's entertaining himself with that. He talks about it in a very cool manner. You know what? This came here. So he's talking in a very cool manner, and we think of him as a very cool and a calm person. But the muck that's inside. See that six times, the Quran is talking about tongue. Right, look after the tongue. Look after the tongue. يَعِزُكُمُ اللَّهُ أَن تَعُودُوا لِمِسْلِي أَبَدًا. In kuntum, moro poiro ito, I nishkarja. Don't do this. My son, don't do it ever. Don't ever do this again. Now, if a child has got a little bit of nobility, his father tells him once, it's too much, he can't do it again. Brother Alam Sahib, rahmatullah, the son of Aftab Sahib, I don't know if you've seen him. They have moved on to Medina Munawara. So, after Asr or something, he had gone somewhere. So his father told him, see, Asr ke baad kahin jaate nahi, मकान को चले आते हैं. आफ्टर सर यू कम होम, डोंट गो एनीवेयर. नाउ लुक एट द मैन्स नोबिलिटी. इट वाज द फर्स्ट टाइम एंड द लास्ट टाइम. फादर नेवर टू से इट अगेन. वन टाइम एंड ही सेज आई नेवर रिग्रेट आफ्टरवर्ड्स बिकॉज आई सॉ दैट दोज दैट हैड अ फ्री माइंड लाइक रनिंग हियर गोइंग देयर स्पेशली आफ्टर सर. See, after Asar is work, right? And after Asar, then you will hang out with this friend here, and that friend, and one thing leads to the other. And things go on after that. You want to be with the friend now, they're sipping coffee. Azan is going. So we'll make our own Jamaat. So why did Rasulullah SAW ask us to be in the masjid? The masjid is there, so he left the masjid, and he's sipping coffee. Then the friend is so interesting now. They're playing some game or something, like Masjidat al-Isha. The game is not complete now, playing some other game and talking and all that. But everything is going on, playing some game or whatever, going after Isha. Right. It's pulling now, right, late at night, 1 o'clock and all that. Then Fajr namaz is gone for us, can't get up. So just for that coffee, the scrap of meat, dry scraps, right? The whole night has been ruined. You didn't get up with Tahajjud at all. Right. If you're a Hafiz, you're supposed to be reciting Quran Sharif at that time. Quran Sharif is gone. Right. You couldn't perform the namaz with Jamaat. That is gone. Right. Number four is, after Fajr, right, there will be some Taaleem, nearly every masjid nowadays, some Taaleem, something happening. You couldn't participate in that. Number five is this, that then you could have performed Ishraq namaz, right? Number six is that then you slept nicely, you can be a good person the next day. Number seven, your wife is helter-skelter. What is possible? She's married to me or married to those friends. She can't say anything because she's under your mercy. You're taking advantage. Today you are ruining that girl's life. Tomorrow your daughter's life will be ruined. You ruined this person's daughter. Coming at that time, how she feels? I wanted that family time. The man is gone. He's not. How does she feel? Number seven is this. If you're there at home six from Asar time, then from that time now, you think, all right, how should we program the family? Make some taaleem, make some zikr, talk about what is done, what was happening in the school. And you have some control, some direction to your children. But at that time, you're too busy hanging out with the friends. Now, then these children become delinquents. I don't know what went wrong, where is what went wrong. But when it was the time to shape them, that you were not there for them. Now they've gone off, now you're worried why they've gone off. But now, see the Mu'abbad al-Amsab, and just once he had to advise his son, Mu'abbad al-Amsab, just once. Sharif, look, is there a sneaker there? People come from some nobility, they don't do this. Just once the father to tell him, this is the last time. But now, so many things you get deprived of. Coming home on time, and what a world of a difference it makes. Sleeping on time, if he's a youngster, he's done his homework. If he's his door, he's done it, right? He's prepared for the next day, had a good sleep. He's going to perform well in school tomorrow, or madrasa, he'll do well. Everything will be going well. But he didn't rest well for all this type of nonsense. Now, how is he going to perform the next day? So, Hazrat Ahmed used to say that. If you want to become fathers and married, but they don't know what it is to assume responsibility. See, you're fathering a child. See, assume responsibility. Parenting, you assume responsibility. Taking someone's daughter out, whatever the responsibility that goes with it. So you don't want to assume the responsibility. You just want to hang out, free life. And then sometimes all this is in place. Then the disaster is one person starts to drug after them. Just one person. And then it carries on. Then from drug, now it's going to drinks. You'll be shocked now that they're from drugs, it's going to drinks. And then it's not only men that are involved, even women are getting involved. You see how it says Umar's advice. A third time, by enough, do your work, whatever, read your namaz, then only masjid at home. Unless now, you are sure, father is sure that you're going to a tablighi program, gush, in gush, out gush, that's the only thing that you're going off for. Other than that, no. And then prove that gush also is not so important. If, for example, there was some genuine work that was required at home, then this genuine work will be taking precedence to your gush as well. Say, for example, the child doesn't know his sabak, and someone has to teach the child his sabak. So on that day, you have to sit down and teach the child his sabak, so that he can be in a good shape for the next day. But now you don't do that. And the child is going to get a reprimand, or the ustad may not look at him favorably, but because of your negligence. Now you're lumping on the wife, why are you not teaching? Now the wife has so many things else to do. She has to look at the home, clean up the children, look after guests. Now, where is she going to find this thing? So we have to be reasonable that you parenting, assume responsibility. For the sake of Allah, assume responsibility is your child. Tomorrow the child will do something great. It's a honor, say, to your reputation. If he's going to do something disgraceful, embarrassing, that'll be embarrassing to you. But it's what you put in the child that you'll see afterwards. See, this is Surah An-Nur. Right? So that's the first, second ruku. Then the same Surah An-Nur then carries on. The same things that I normally talk about. Tongue and eyes. يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. What do you say? يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Lower your sight. And strangely, it's not only saying the men, it's saying the women also. مِنَاتِ يَغْدُدْنَا. Because everything, all the help breaks loose from the eye. The eye gives it up. They say, آنکھے سے اشارے ہو گئے. ہم تمہارے تم ہمارے ہو گئے. See which starts off. مجھاس کہاں سے شروع ہوتا ہے. See that. Just now, he made this, she did this, tell us. What eye? And sometimes you hear a case, hey, the person is such a professional person. And just one smirk, one eye, hey, he's gone. Flat. Can't do anything about it. The way he's mesmerized, just one eye. Yeah, one eye. Imagine what a powerful eye that must be. Those are buzurgo ki nazar. Orto ki nazar ko dekho. Say the nazar se, na maal se, na waas se, buzurgo ki nazar se. Usse bhari tujhe orto ki nazar hai. One nazar is capturing you. One nazar. Just turn you around. There will be one nazar. Just pull them out. How dangerous it is. So with the Quran Sharif, you say by just lower the side. You don't experiment. After the Quran Sharif said something, don't experiment. After the elder said something, don't experiment. You will experiment at your peril. You know, I can talk of things now, because I'm talking of things over 40 years, right? And what are the people that I'm talking about? They're all dead and gone. I'm talking about 1980s, right? 80-81. One man said, no, I'm married here, but I'm in love with my sister-in-law. I made istikhara, it's positive. I said, let us search up. Mujhe keh rahe ke meri istikhara positive hai. This is harab. How can you marry to your wife, sister? How can you marry? So I told him, "Bhai, if you're not going to leave this thing here," I told him, I was young that time, he got a lot of Josh. So he was a very wealthy person. At that time, 1979-80, he used to import containers. China, Japan, all these things here. Such a wealthy person. I said, you're not going to leave this year. You have to close your business and you'll be in genuine constraints. You'll be in serious constraints. You don't leave this year. So now maybe istikhara. I told you what I need to tell you, but you'll be in problems. It took about 20 years after that, 15 or 20 years. Man is battling for a job for 3,000 years. From where he was, and he just fell. From there, see his eyes. So it doesn't mean you're the brother-in-law now, you take advantage of the house. Those girls don't become your, they don't become now free for you. You marry into the house, it doesn't mean the girls become free for you. You just keep your distance. Alhamdulillah, from the time I made nikah, right? So I should make it a point, if I go to the in-law's place, then I just sit in the lounge, one place. Unless you go to the toilet, just go to the toilet, but you sit in the lounge. So the house people, they are free to move around. Wherever they know, I'm not going to move around there. I'll just stick to the lounge. Sitting room, just at that point. Now, you are a son-in-law, and you want to make yourself like a son. Causing problems then. The additional wrong is that when you son-in-law, just keep your position, right? Now you want to keep yourself as a son now. One is now, you want to move around freely. Then you want to worry about the father-in-law's wealth. Now what's going to happen to his wealth? I saw all these things. This is all these bicycles, I saw these people. I saw these things. Man is getting old now, and his son-in-law is jumping. Hey, you know, I must get something from this. The strange thing was that his wife was seriously ill, cancer. And he's jumping over the father-in-law's wealth. The father-in-law didn't die yet. He's jumping. And you see what happens. So keep your place, you won't go off. And you won't need that wealth. But you don't keep to your place now. You're more interested in the sister-in-law than your wife. You're more interested in his wealth than your wealth. And you're creating confusion after that. They'll see this now, and they'll think now, you don't wait for him now, how they'll feel. So you're breaking the whole house, you're breaking up. See that Yahud do mean absorbing. Look after your eyes. So look after the tongue, then look after your eyes. Zalika askalam. It'll make for greater purity. See, you want the purity of the heart. You don't want your heart, you said that. Shukuk shubhat. You want the nur to fill up in the heart. So this will cause that nur to fill up. Otherwise, that nur will be blocked out. Either by speech or eyes. Your eyes or your speech will block out the heart. Now you're doing everything, but you don't find the inspiration, you don't find the motivation, you don't find the drive. Why? Either the eyes are gone or the tongue is gone. Then, again, social etiquettes, same surah and nur, because Umar is saying that, tell the woman to learn the thing. So he's teaching them social etiquettes. لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتًا غَيْرَ بُيُوتِكُمْ حَتَّى تَسْتَأْنِسُوا وَتُسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Then, how should you enter a home? The home etiquette. So, now look at the home, right? So you won't enter without permission. You won't enter without permission. That means you won't even look into that house. Sometimes the curtains are out, right? Sometimes the door is open. But that permission is for seeing. The permission is for entering. You already entered. You saw, that means you've already entered the house. Now, the people of the house should also be a little bit sensible that they block the windows. Sometimes they don't realize what's happening. I got an email, someone phoned, I can't remember, right? So, person is saying, he's telling me, writing to me. Or he's speaking to me, I can't remember exactly. So I got a very powerful telescope. So I'm looking this side, that side. Then I look into one house, and a young girl was having a bath. I kept on looking for half an hour. Now, how was I make mark for that? How was I make mark for that? You see what happens there. Now, what things come out now, and how they experiment? Sometimes you think, you're reluctant to mention this because someone will try to experiment this also. You get funny responses here, very, very funny responses. You don't want to mention these things here. So the permission was so that to prevent you looking in there. Now you're already looking into that place, so where's the pardan? Come on. So you enter, then you make salam. فَإِن لَمْ تَجِدُوا فِيهَا أَحَدًا فَلَا تَدْخُلُهَا. There's nobody, then you move away. And if they ask you to leave, then you leave. Then you don't insist, I must come in now. Now, as for the house, they got about 10 others, right? What adab, what etiquette you should be following. So the situation of, for example, it's just you and your wife that's occupying the house. So a question comes up, should you ask for permission then as well? So they say it's not so emphasized, but then too it is important that you take permission. Or you make your presence known, either permission or you make your presence known. Because it's possible that your wife got her friends and you just entered and they're sitting in the lounge, for example, and they're talking. You looked. Isn't that embarrassing? You didn't know. And they were sitting there, but you didn't ask. You didn't make your presence known. You make your presence known and then you enter. But you see how refined these manners are. Any person in the world can show his manners. Then, again, if it is, for example, if it is just you or your mother or your wife, wife is still alright, but you and your mother are sharing the house, or she's in the house, or your sister is in the house. House now will mean, now, in our context, she's in the room, mother is in the room, or your sister is in the room. Should you just enter without telling her? See, our homes are designed different to what was designed at that time. The design of the home at that time was, it's just like one big room, right? And everything happens there. I saw it in some of the old homes. Just one corner, you staying, someone is staying. So, if it's just you and your mother, or you and your sister, right? So now, in our context, how it will work is you have a different room. For the girl, it will be a different room. For the boys, it will be a different room, right? So now, if it's just your mother, should you enter without telling her? So now, then you must ask her. Now, Sahabi is saying, but it's just my mother that's there. Must I ask for permission? Yes, ask. Must I ask for permission? Third time you ask. Yes. Would you want to see her undressed? It's possible she's dressing up, right? Or she's applying some medication somewhere, right? And she's undressed or not fully dressed. And you see your mother in that state. Isn't that embarrassing for you and for her? So therefore you ask for permission, make your presence known, and then get into her. Don't just get in there. Then the sixth adab is وَإِنَّ لِزَوْرِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا. Someone is a guest or someone wants to see you, right? Then you have a duty towards him, see to him. It's a guest, it's a person that wants to see you, right? So you see to him. But now the guest also should be a little bit reasonable. You can't come and meet you after Isha, say, the summer's right, it's about 9:30, he wants to see you. Just came to meet you now, how's everything, how's business? There's something genuine you want to talk about, then you talk. No, he's pravarto, so he thinks everybody's pravarta. Now that's your family time, you've planned yourself. And now if he respects you, then you respect him. But he doesn't respect, just come here, comes just to pass time now. Nothing important. If something is a serious thing, must know a masla or something, it's a different thing. But now, just to come and pass time, just came to pop in to have a cup of tea. What? Understand, if it's something important, right, ask the person. Nothing important, right, go sleep now. So that will help you to get up for tahajjud, or fajr namaz, your Quran Sharif, whatever things you got for the night, you can do. But now, you just... But on the other side, if you got a guest, you respect him. But the guest needs to also understand, is it the right thing to come and meet the person at this time, at this part of the night? He must understand as well. Eat the double deep. As you're entering, you give your full name, or the name that they know you by. The inmates of the house, they know you by the name. You identify yourself, you identify yourself with that full name. You don't know who's there, I'm here. There'll be some. So I've been pleased with the person who said, Anna, Anna. So you give your full name. I'm at the door. Assalamu alaikum. See his adab. See how he felt. So in just one sentence, the person knows exactly who's here. So they feel so easy. They feel so relaxed. They open the door. I'm here. You gave your full name, the name that they remember you, they call you by, they know you by. You gave the name and they open the door at once. Then if it is something, right, you want some time from the person, then you tell the person, I just need about 10 minutes of your time. Is it the right time? That's not better done telephonically. I need 10 minutes of your time. So he says, sorry, not today, tomorrow at this time. Then don't raise a brow. You're always busy, we can't even see you. You don't know what engagements he's got. He's got some other engagements. You had some work, but he's got also some work. If you are busy, he's also a busy person. So he said, come and see me tomorrow. In qila lakum urji'u farji'u. Ask you to leave, then you must leave. And the fair thing is, if you've got some time, you need some time, then tell the person, I need some time. Therefore, even when you're phoning the person, then you tell the person, I've got something to discuss. It'll take me about 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Is it the right time to discuss? Or should I be discussing at some other time? You tell the person. Right. So now he will see you with respect. So now look at this person here, with what dignity, what manners he speaks with. He speaks so gently, so let me speak to him gently. See the adab of entering the home. إِنْ قِيلَ لَكُمْ رُجِعُوا فَرْجِعُوا وَأَسْكَى لَكُمْ. Then the tenth adab, right, is when you're in someone's home, then you look after your eyes. In someone else's home, you look after your eyes. So if, for example, it's meals time, and the host tells you to sit at a certain spot, you sit at that spot. It's better for you. What I would normally do is now, normally it's a dining room and it's a kitchen. So I will sit in line with the door on the wall. So if sometimes someone mistakenly opens the door and someone comes, then you are facing that side, the opposite side. So mistakenly also you won't look in the kitchen. And you're sitting down this side, and that side is the kitchen, and some mistake happens, then you are looking inside. So this aspects of parda, see, this Surah Nur got all these things here. Same again. Now you are in a car, right? The preferable thing is the woman should be in the back. أَخِّرُوهُنَّ كَمَا أَخَّرَهُنَّ اللَّهُ. Allah Pak says, you go to the back. Right? So that's the better thing. Now the woman are in the back, you're sitting in the front seat. And when you're sitting in the front seat now, the dashboard got the mirror, you don't look at the mirror then. You don't look at the mirror then, obviously not, you don't look at the mirror. And don't be loud now, because it's possible you're going to be loud as though you're attracting attention. As though you're attracting attention. You're talking, just that the driver is talking to you enough. But now you're talking a little bit louder, you want to attract attention for the girls that are there, right? So you're talking but in a low tone, he's understanding what you're talking about, and don't look at the wrong things, right? See this. See, there's all the adabs of visiting a home, a guest, social etiquettes, right? And if you want to keep these things in mind, then there'll be a joy in the house. And you're not going to keep these things in mind then, that same house then becomes like a jahannam. Fighting here, fighting with this person here, fighting with that person. So the whole day and night just fights. There's no understanding, no reasoning, it's fights. لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتًا غَيْرَ بُيُوتِكُمْ حَتَّى تَسْتَعْنِسُوا. Then now, it's an invite, right? invited for meals. Right? So,
إِلَّا أَن يُؤْذَنَ لَكُمْ إِلَىٰ طَعَامٍ غَيْرَ النَّازِلِينَ.
Look at the adab. غَيْرَ النَّازِلِينَ إِنَا. So they told you that the meals is going to be served at 10 o'clock. And you don't pull in there at 9 o'clock. غَيْرَ النَّازِلِينَ إِنَا. Don't be waiting now for that preparation. Because now, you think to yourself that the host is got a fikr to get the food right? So he's making the fikr. And you came in, you're a guest, so he has to show you respect. Now he's torn between you and the preparation. And you came long in advance, one hour in advance, and he can't ignore you. But he has to also see to the preparation. Aren't you making it a little bit difficult for him? غَيْرَ النَّازِرِينَ إِنَا. See that? See the Qur'an says, and the adab is so refined. It's spot 100%. Just go with it. غَيْرَ النَّازِرِينَ إِنَا. Number two is, وَلَكِنْ إِذَا دُعِيتُمْ. You don't just go and rock up someone's place. I hear that I was called, invited here. No invitation, but you just go. إِذَا دُعِيتُمْ. You invited that you go. فَإِذَا طَعِمْتُمْ فَانْتَشِرُوا. Now, in the dawat now, there may be like different tables where they're feeding, right? Like in a walima now. So, it may be the girls' party, right? So the girls' party will be kept in a little bit more respect, right? They'll have a little bit more varieties there. And look at the savouries and the confectionery, all that will be much more. But you don't go look at what they're eating there. I'm second class, I'm first class. Don't look at all that. You don't look at that and you don't ask for that. You don't ask for that and you don't... That is meant for the people in that table. And this is meant for the people on this table. This is the hadith. Bukhari says this is coming. But that is meant for those people there on that table. And what is there by you is meant for you. And for that guest there to pass on is not right also. He's not allowed to do it. Because that was meant only for that table. It was not meant for you. So if you were to pass from this table to that table, it's going to be wrong. Unless it's the same food. This dal chawal for the whole world, right? So that's all right. You're passing dal from here to there, rice, chawal, it's all right. But it was meant specially for that table. That you don't take the food from that table, pass it on, that's it. Don't do it. Sometimes the host is also wrong, right? The host, what they do nowadays, I see, they got the food, but the cakes and all this thing, and now they got it displayed. All displayed. Now that guess is thing, you know, is it meant for display, or is it meant for us to eat? But his mind is not functioning. Is it for the display, or is it meant for eating? What is it for? If it is for eating, then pass it on. But, and if it's a display, then say it's just for display. It's not for you. Now you got it there, and you're not eating it, but you just got it on display. So you create a confusion. Don't do that. But it's wrong on the side of the host. They don't understand that it's not an etiquette. If it's meant for them, and sometimes it happens, right, that's one mistake. Second mistake, you got a fruit platter, right? A big fruit platter, and it's on one side of the table. Now these people here, they want the fruit, but they're feeling ashamed. Hey, how must we ask for this thing here? If it's meant for all now, the right thing, the sensible thing is, put it in the small plates, pass it on right through. If it's meant for all. See this adab, all Islamic adab. Right. Now, one is when you come, and number two is how you eat, right? And number three is this, right? I used to see this in Chotamara, in Mahum. In those days, 1980s, 70s, used to be doing the supervising of the Maktabiyah. So his family, we used to call her Bari, she used to be at home. And then my mother would insist that they must eat and go. Right? So usually I think they would come on a Thursday or a Tuesday, they would come. So now the style was that you have a simple food and a special food, like shops like a special food. Simple foods like mug or masoor or something, right? Now, Chotamara make it a point Although there's a lot of chops there, you make it a point that you just take one chops and you fill the plate up. I'll look at him carefully. I think, what is man is doing? But he's so considerate. He's so considerate. I mean, he'll try to take some more. I'm happy with this. But look at the consideration. Now, what happens if we look at the chops and we count how many people there? Five people, and there's five chops here. So I take two of the rest, they can manage. That's how we read it. Now, but you see these old people, how they thought. Now, he's dead and gone, in about 9-10 years, but I still think about the refined manners. See the mannerisms. How he conducted himself. He ate also. He didn't do like, no, I'm not eating. But he was considerate to the other people that were around. He took one piece, and he filled the plate with mug and masoor. So now, you know what level of consideration, respect. Now this comes from the hadith also. Naha anil qira. Nabi Sam had stopped that you don't take two at one time. Qira means taking two. Like now, they say you got biscuits, right? And you can see there's about five mihman. So there's 10 biscuits, right? So you took three. Is that right? So you just take one at a time. Unless it's your own, you eating your own, you take more than one, it's all. You just eat yourself and your own is a different. But you're sitting in a dawat, and then you took three, that's not fair, that's not right. Nahani, that he stopped that. That means anything that is done, jointly done, then you must be considerate to the next person. It's a toilet now, it's a joint toilet, right? Common toilet, joint use. Then you leave it in a better position than you visit it. Because it's a joint thing. Or it's something that jointly used, right? You pray, replace it in the place that you preach dafan. You know, everybody's using it. So you took the benefit, alright, very good, but replace it exactly at the spot that you were taking it from. Now it's a Quran Sharif, for example, so everybody uses it. So from the spot that you picked it up, you replace it in the same spot. So now it becomes easy for everybody. In a masjid, now you got a glass, right? In the wuzu khana, right, for drink water. So you used it, but replace it at the same spot. See now, what mannerism Islam is taught. وَأَقْوَابُ مَوْضُوعَ They are placed in the right places. فَإِذَا طَعِمْتُمْ فَانْتَشِيرُوا Now, you add the walima, finish. Now, jugarwan, what's wrong with that? Now, scatter, move over. You ate, now move. Now you don't engage. Wala musta'anisina li hadith. You don't engage in talks now. Don't sit around and talk. Because the host, he wants to clear up, get the things done, all that. And now you're sitting and talking. Maybe also, it may be that he's got a second round of guests coming in. And you're sitting there talking. So now he feels a little bit difficult. Say, you ate now, please leave. Finds it difficult to tell you that. Does he feel easy to say, all right, now move. Now you understand, you ate, you're comfortable now. After you've eaten, now move. You came and ate nicely, respectfully. Now leave also respectfully. So he was a faithful, mashallah, what respect this person has got. See the adab, social etiquette. Nearly all of this is from Surah An-Nur. How much for us to learn? Are there other adabs also, inshallah, some other time?